If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning to you. 9:08 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Mello is here too. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Good to see you on a Friday.
I know. It's a beautiful day today.
Always good to see you. It's warmer in Cedar City right now than it is here.
Are you kidding?
It's 40 in Cedar. It's 36 here.
It was cold on my walk this morning. My face was numb.
Yeah. Did you ever find a walking partner, or you and your dog?
My dog is big and scary. No one will bug me.
Okay, I worry about you walking in the dark.
Yeah, I know.
Be careful out there.
Yeah, it's all good.
Be careful. It is the 22nd day of November. Thanksgiving is 6 days away. We will not be on the air next Friday or Thursday, for that matter. We'll be on the air. Well, something will be on the air. It just won't be us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll have news running and stuff. Yeah.
It is time to take your turkeys out of the freezer.
I guess the whole thing, I never knew this as a young person, but I guess, you know, they say for every 5 pounds of bird, you need 24 hours of defrost.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you get, say, a 15-pound turkey, which is not a giant one, it's a big one, but it's not a giant one, you need to defrost it for 3 days in the fridge.
Yeah, yeah. Mine's coming out tomorrow. Mine's like a 19-pounder.
Oh, big one. Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
So I cannot get into my assignment for Thanksgiving and what happened there, but I've basically been told that they don't need my smoked turkey this year.
You've been uninvited to smoke your turkey?
Well, I can't get... If I say any more, I'm going to get in trouble.
Okay, no getting in trouble. But I really wanted to smoke turkey this year, and my husband wouldn't do it, so I'm kind of frustrated.
Oh, well, if you have a turkey, I'll smoke it for you. No, I'd probably get in trouble doing that, too. I think what I'm going to do is we have a ham. I'm going to smoke a pulled ham.
Oh, that would be yum.
It's my little protest, my little counter. Let me smoke a turkey. I'll do a ham. All right. I'll do a pig instead of a bird, whatever. So anyway, so you got family coming in for Thanksgiving, yeah?
Yeah, all of my kids are going to be home. So I'll have 7 kids and 3 grandkids and 3 significant spouses, others, whatever
Full
you want to call
house.
Them, and my dad.
Do you ever talk to your ex this time of year?
Yeah, I've actually had him to Thanksgiving with his other new wife that's now his ex. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we're still friends.
That's mighty, voluminous of you. That's very generous. It's very kind of you.
Yeah, it doesn't help me to stay angry.
That's true.
That hurts me more.
That's true. What is it? That's the poison. The hatred you have for someone else only hurts you. It doesn't hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Yeah. There are some things that would be hard to forgive, though, Mello. So I'm impressed that you have gotten over what he did to you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
So I don't.
It freed me in so many other ways, so it's okay.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You're a better person for it now.
Yeah. You have to learn your lessons sometimes the hard way.
And you may not have Maddox if that's
true. I would not have had Maddox. That's true. And he's amazing. Little 7-year-old.
Yeah.
Little bonus baby.
Yeah. Although you're a little old for a 7-year-old, aren't you?
I know. I have 3 grandkids. I am so old. As soon as they started having kids, I was like, hey, no more kids, Jeff. I'm done.
My sister had kind of an oops, and she would be 54, and she has a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So is that? I think it's pretty similar.
I mean, you're
younger than that. But.
Yeah, I was 41 when he was born.
Okay, yeah, so she was 43, I think, when he was born. So
yeah. I really didn't think I was going to get pregnant. I was very surprised.
Yeah,
that's how you go. If you need that baby, they're going to come.
So you were telling me a little bit about this movie that you watched last night, and how. So I remember in college. Now, I went to college back in the late 80s, early 90s. I graduated in 93. So we were talking about something called planned obsolescence, which is probably a word that came up in your movie last night. The idea being the companies make products that purposely are meant to only last a certain amount of time. For instance, somebody said, I remember talking to my dad the other day, we're talking about water heaters. Water heaters are meant to only last 7 years. Mm-hmm. Do they have the technology to make them last longer? Absolutely they do. Mm-hmm. Do they have the ability to make them last longer? Absolutely they do. Do they want to make them last longer? No, because they want you to buy a new one. Mm-hmm. They'd be putting themselves out of business.
Yeah, so the documentary I watched yesterday was called Buy More.
Buy More.
Okay. And it was on Netflix. And they did talk about the obsolescence. And back in 1925, the guys that made the light bulbs, mm-hmm. they like had a meeting of the minds and they all came together. And all of the light bulbs lasted 2,500 hours at that point. And they all agreed to reduce it to 1,500.
Wow.
So that you would have to buy more. And that was kind of like the beginning of that trend, I guess, that they have noted. And then, like, you know, with Apple, as soon as you do your updates, it makes your phone obsolete. So my phone is a 12, and I'm trying to make it last.
I have a 12 as well.
And I've made it so I can't get any more updates because I don't want it to start draining my battery, which is what happens in the past.
They're what, on 16 now?
They're on 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're and I, our phone will be pretty soon. They'll say, sorry, we don't service your phone anymore. You can't.
I know. But there's a company, and it's called iFixit, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of fighting back against this notion of creating obsolescence. And I'm going to grab that call. Should I grab that call real quick?
Yeah, grab the call.
Okay, hold on.
We'll get back to the topic in just a second. But for me, planned obsolescence, the ultimate planned obsolescence, in my opinion, is tires. Tires that you buy for your car. Now, in my opinion, and there are people that maybe have a different opinion or don't think, but in my opinion, they plan tires to fail after a certain amount of time. And it's not, you buy a tire, oh, that's a 50,000 tire, that's a 60,000 tire, that's a 70,000. Baloney. I am editing there, that one. Because I know, and you know, after about 20,000 miles, your tire's shot. It's done for. You're not going to be able to drive it anymore. It's going to be bald. They have the little, you got your penny and it's 3/16 of an inch and the groove and all that stuff. So for me, Mello, the ultimate planned obsolescence has always been tires. I think the technology is available to make a tire that will last the entire life of your car. They won't do it though. They're not going to do it because that would cost them money.
Yeah. They want you to rebuy everything.
Yeah.
But the other thing that was really interesting was it talked about Amazon and how the people at Amazon actually created all of the buttons that you see. They've tested all the different colors. They've tested all of the different the ways that you're going to interact with it and chosen the one that creates the greatest revenue stream. And their whole goal is to have you purchase something before you have time to think about if you really need it. And then get it to you before you can even change your mind.
Impulse.
And impulse shopping. Right. Make it so convenient because there was a barrier to entry before. Before you would have to decide you want something. You'd have to get in your car. You'd have to drive to the store. You'd have to find the item. And then you'd have to bring it home. So there was like 4 or 5 or 6 steps before you actually got the item so you could decide if you wanted it.
Yeah, and if it was, a piece of clothing, you had to try it on, go to the fitting room, or, shoes, you had to sit down and try the shoes on or whatever. There was, maybe you didn't like how it looked or how it felt or what. Yeah, you're right, the barriers. So they're trying to eliminate all the barriers and just say, go, go, go.
Right, but the problem with that is that there is such an overconsumption in the society, and what people aren't thinking about is what happens after somebody has received the item, consume the item, then what? Because you can only donate so many clothes. And so the clothes are being actually donated across overseas, right? So there's some being donated from like Gap and H&M and these other big companies that have all this overflow of clothes. And they're being sent to Ghana. If you look at this video, like the beaches, there's beaches areas in Ghana which are covered with clothes, like littered with clothes and shoes that's just, they have nowhere to put all the clothes.
Now, I did a story. This was last year, so it's been a while. But basically, this guy got sent from St. George on a mission to Ghana. It was somewhere in Africa. Mm-hmm. And while he was there, I thought this was so cool. So he played on the football team when he was in high school. and they sold shirts that had his number and name on it and stuff to little kids. They could buy them or whatever. And he, while he was in Africa, he came across a kid wearing the one of those shirts that had his name and number on it from high school, because they had donated the extra shirts to charity, and they ended up, like you said, in Africa. And there was a kid wearing one of his shirts. He said that is maybe the coolest thing he'd ever seen.
That's wild.
Yeah.
The other thing was the electronics.
Yeah.
Because there's so many flat screen TVs. There's always computers. There's phones. There's all of these items. And you take them to like a place where you believe, the consumer believes, they're going to be recycled.
Right.
So there's this company out there, and what they do is they put the trackers inside the items that they're donating to actually see what happens to their item. Is it really being recycled or not? And they actually will track the package, and it went from like the U.S., and then it went like to another country and like just skirted around like on these ships. And they said what they'll do is when it gets to a cargo ship, they'll just put $100 in the box, like in the cargo ship, and the guy will take it and let it go. So they're bribing the people that are supposed to be checking the cargo ships. And then their package actually ended up in Thailand. And so their flat screen TV is there. So then they'll go on site and see what's going on with their item. And there are these people, and they are dismantling, so they're trying to recycle, but there's no safety procedures there to keep the people safe from all of the elements that are in the electronics that are harmful.
Wow.
So it's just really kind of, it was really eye-opening, and it's a really good time to watch it, like right before Christmas, because we're in such consumer mode.
Yes, we are.
So
yes, we
are. I don't know, it was very good. I really enjoyed it.
What's the name of again?
It's called Buy More. B-U-Y
More. Okay. And that's on Netflix.
And it kind of gives you the rules. If you're going to be this mega corporation, these are the rules you need to do to like make everybody buy all your products and become a billionaire.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, we'll have to watch that. Mm-hmm. I have, by the way, on Monday, I have Timothy Burton Anderson. He's an author, but he's a local guy. He's been on the board. He's a local, very successful attorney. He's been on the, he was on the board for the University of Utah, and he is, but he's an author, and he's written another fiction book. And so I had, you were talking about, you know, what to do this week. I was thinking, well, I'll watch that documentary, but I got to read his book. Okay. He delivered to me Wednesday a copy, an advanced copy. I don't think the book's out, or maybe it's just out this week. He delivered, hand-delivered to me a copy. He said, here, so you can read this before I come on the show on Monday. So I'm going to spend a little time reading a book this weekend.
Homework.
Yeah, I have homework. It's true. But it's supposed to be a good read. It's called Blue, Red, and Dead.
Ooh.
Blue, Red, and Dead. Now, Tim has spent time in Russia, you know, in the old Soviet Union. He's been all around the country. He's been on numerous boards. He's been a high-powered lawyer, attorney. So he knows his stuff, and I anticipate this to be a very good book. So,
that's awesome.
And we're going to talk to him on Monday here on the Andy Griffin Show. On Tuesday, Mello is going to join me, a special Tuesday appearance from Mello.
Because we'll be off on Friday, right?
Yeah, we're off on Friday. And then Wednesday, Zach Renstrom will be on the program, and we'll segue that into some Thanksgiving things. By the way, this was on the wire this morning. Transportation officials are gearing up for what to be the busiest Thanksgiving travel period ever. E-V-E-R, yeah, ever. The TSA Administrator David Pekoski says airline passenger volume is already very high this year. This is Pekoski.
This year has already been the busiest in TSA history. All 10 of our top busiest days in our 23 years have occurred since the 24th of May of this year.
Yeah, busy. We're all, you know, it's weird. COVID got us, I think, with the travel bug, we wanted to get out, and they wouldn't let us, and now we're just going crazy. TSA expects to screen 18.3 million airline passengers between Tuesday, that's next Tuesday, and the Monday after Thanksgiving, a 6% increase over the same period last year. Overall, AAA predicts that a record 80 million people will travel at least 50 miles by car or air for the Thanksgiving holiday this weekend. A lot of travel.
So. Yeah, we did get a caller just a minute ago, and he was telling us about the turkey. Like, if you forget to put your turkey in the fridge.
Some ideas, yeah.
Yeah, that you can actually put it in the sink and cover it with water, and it takes a half hour per pound. So you'll have to change the water, like, every, you know, couple times a day. and then drain out the water and then recover it, and it'll defrost it faster. And then there's also a caller on line one for you, too.
Okay. I got a text, too, from Kirk, and no, H.K. Kirkland is his name. Anyway, he sent me pictures of his spatchcocked turkey, and which is how I always do. Now, people don't know what that is. What that means is basically, you know, that you got that backbone along the ridge of the turkey. You break that so that you can lay the turkey flat, so that it's not one big kind of container, but it's a flat thing, and then you can smoke it that way, and it helps to get the meat in the middle done. And I guess maybe one of the things I should mention to anybody who is cooking a turkey, get it to 165, okay? You do not want to be serving people undercooked poultry.
No, that's bad.
There's salmonella and E. coli. All those things could be present if you don't take care of business. So even if you're smoking it, or even if you're sticking it in the oven or one of those crock pot roaster things or whatever, make sure the IT, the internal temperature, is 165 or higher. Meat thermometers are relatively inexpensive, so you just make sure. You don't want people getting sick after Thanksgiving. That would be bad.
No. And also, do you do your stuffing inside the bird or no?
I do not. No, oh, I've never done that.
I do.
I heard it's good.
It's good.
You do it that way?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Yeah, I make a mean stuffing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You make what's that syrup you make in Fourth of July breakfast?
The best syrup ever.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
That stuff is.
Yes.
Of course, it is straight crack cocaine. I mean, sugar
it's
and
so,
stuff in there, but it is
so
really
delicious.
Really good.
Yeah, it's so easy to make too. Just
okay.
Like
the caller on the line. What did they? What's the topic here?
He didn't say. He just he likes to call in and talk to you.
We'll go wild card with it. Hey, what's going on?
Morning, Andy.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Richard?
Oh, doing really well. Near and dear to my heart again is how long things last.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know anybody who's a home canner, and I'm in the middle of juicing pomegranate, so I'm doing it right now. Anyway.
So you're all covered in red liquid?
Oh, big dye.
Yeah.
Makes a great dye. But anyway, in the good old days, and I still have bottles that I've canned 15 years ago. The seal pops, you know, when you open it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little leery, but, you know, it'll stay canned. These new lids, in the last few years, they've got rid of this, what do they call it, the BPA-free, whatever it causes cancer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you flip the little lid over on the box, back of the box. Oh, these might be good for up to 18 months.
What?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, is right, you know. So they're not going to guarantee they'll stay sealed after that, you know. A lot of that stuff you don't even touch for a year or two if you can, a lot of it, you know.
Yeah, it's called food storage. I mean, that's why we do it.
And they're getting rid of that kind of with these crappy seals because they don't put much rubber on the lids anymore. And this is the top brand, Kerr and Ball. You can't find any good ones anymore, so.
Wow. I didn't realize that. They're getting us everywhere, aren't
that's
they?
That's another disposable thing. And then you talked about all this travel, and I was listening to Sean Hannity's update, and he likes to bring up how Biden and the people have let in all these illegals and over 300 known terrorists they've come into our country. And how many people we got traveling this weekend?
80 million driving, and then another, 17 million flying.
Boy, if I was a terrorist, yeah, I'd be prime targets. It's kind of scary, you know, when you think about what we've let into this country and have no clue where they're at or what they're doing.
You're absolutely right.
Then they tried to interview the Congress, the FBI director, and the Homeland Security director this week, you know, for our safety update. Okay, both refused to go before Congress and say, oh, there's no threat, blah, blah, blah. So,
wow.
Another happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thanks. On that note, covered in red dye or pomegranate juice, Richard says, have a good Thanksgiving. You know, I don't think that we're ignoring it, but I think we're not really taking it seriously. But if you think about all the people who came into our country, walked into our country, who have some serious hatred for our country, who want to do harm, and we just let them. And when I say we, our President Biden, we just let them. And it's like Richard said, well, yeah, they want to talk about safety and stuff, but they don't want to talk about that. The fact that, I mean, 9/11, you know, was only 23 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And those those terrorists, they had, it was hard for them to get into our country and get away with what they did. And then it got harder after that. And then for whatever reason, the last 4 years, it got easy. And I'm scared. I'm scared that something big is going to happen. I hope that our, you know, the people that keep an eye on this kind of thing are keeping an eye on it. But if you think about this, Mello, their job was to try to keep an eye on a million or so immigrants. And of that group, you know, a few hundred terrorist types. Now their job is to keep an eye on 10 to 15 million immigrants and 500 or more terrorists that want to do harm to our country.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard job.
It got a lot bigger. And can they keep up? Did their budget get bigger? No, their budget didn't get any bigger.
No, yeah. I did hear there was a big caravan like before the election that was making their way towards our border. And then after they found out that Trump got elected, they disbanded.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Another text. You have to consider when your iPhone 12 security updates expire.
Oh, I don't want to think about that.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh. I have really smart kids coming for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Hey, so fix it for me.
I will have them look at it because I'm also out of room on my cloud. So
Have we crossed that bridge, you and I? We are now the old people. We need to ask the young person how to fix something and make it work and stuff.
It used to be really good because I used to be able to bribe him with my Netflix password, but then Netflix took that opportunity away from me.
Oh, man. Yeah,
for technical support.
By the way, before we go to break, I did want to mention this. No, you know, I'll talk about it more after the break. Let's do that. But one of the most incredible, amazing things happened last night in sports that I, you know, I've been doing ball games for 30 years, and I haven't seen the likes of it. So we'll talk about what happened last night up at the University of Utah's Rice-Eccles Stadium. Mm. When we come, that's a little teaser there. When we come back, right now, let's check weather.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 934 on KDXU. Mello Finlayson is here as well. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
So I flipped over to Facebook real quick. I was actually looking for a specific group, but I found that this is kind of interesting. So somebody had posted, let me see who the poster is on this. Poster is, it's in the Pain in the Gorge website, which is, if you go to Vegas very often or Mesquite, the Pain in the Gorge group is kind of a cool one because it updates you on traffic and things that are going on in the gorge. But they have pictures of, okay, you know those oversized loads, right? You got the oversized load and you got the escort car in the front mm-hmm. and the back. Well, they have a picture of an oversized load with an escort car in the front and the back, but also two police trucks.
Hmm.
And the item on this they took a picture of it. The item on the oversized load looks like a large silver disc.
Like a spaceship?
Kind of like a UFO, yeah.
What?
Now, I don't know what it is. It's taking up both lanes. So basically, there's at least three police cars.
I just found it.
You found it, yeah.
Oh, it does look mighty suspicious, and it's driving down the middle of the lane.
Yeah, there's not room for any other cars. Three police cars, two pilot cars, and some kind of interesting. Now, I am not going to say, hey, that's an alien spaceship. It's probably some big giant industrial part that goes to something, but still it kind of makes you go especially when you throw in the police escort part, because usually oversized loads don't have three police cars with them too.
I don't know, somebody at the bottom said normal for a real wide load, but there's a couple of alien posts under that comment.
All right, last night, so my wife has gone out of town, so I'm batching it, as they say, right? I don't have a spouse or kids or anything, so I'm home alone. And I was kind of excited for last night because it was the state 4A championship up Rice-Eccles. It was going to be on TV. Mm. And so that's cool.
Yeah,
get to hang out, eat some junk food, and watch football, right? Well, I didn't have any junk food. My wife on her current diet has emptied the house of junk food. There's nothing, right? No. But I did have football, and so I'm and I managed to find two Oreos. You know those little mini packs where I found two Oreos? So I had two Oreos and a football game, which is probably good because that kept me from eating too much junk. But by early in the fourth quarter, it was a blowout for Spanish Fork. They were beating Crimson Cliffs 42-21. So I'm like, and there were other guys. I was watching a little bit of a college game. There was a pro game. They were playing in a blizzard. They were kind of mildly interesting. But I was just like, nah, I've lost my taste for this. Crimson is getting blown out, and everybody else is, you know, they're just not that interesting. So I turned off the TV. And then, you know, I got ready for bed. Did some things. And then finally got to bed. And while I was doing other stuff, there was enough time for the game to have ended, right? So I was like, okay, you know, I'll just check the score before I go to sleep. I look at the score, and I'm like, no, that can't be right. Something's wrong here. There's no way this score is correct. So let me tell you the rest of the story now. So it's 42-21. Spanish Fork had just scored to make it a 3-touchdown lead. Mm-hmm. And then Crimson Cliffs came out and threw an interception. So not only did Spanish Fork, with 8 minutes left, have the ball or have the 3-touchdown lead, they had the football. Mm-hmm. Now, if anybody that follows sports, and I know this isn't a sports show, but anybody that follows sports knows that if a team has a 3-touchdown lead in the ball with 8 minutes left, it's over. It ain't, you know, that's it. So unless there's a perfect storm, and last night there was a perfect storm. Mm-hmm. So Crimson Cliffs stopped Spanish Fork after the interception, got the ball back, and over the next 3 minutes finally got in and got another touchdown. But at this point, okay, 5 minutes left, it's 42-28 now. Like, okay, that's still kind of a blowout. Mm-hmm. So they kick off, and they stop Spanish Fork after three plays. They use all their timeouts, so they get the ball back pretty quickly, and but they're out of timeouts now. And so there's like 4 minutes left. And they go down and they get another touchdown. I think it's a 42-yard pass or something. Wow. So then it's 42-35. But now you're down to 3.5 minutes left and you have no timeouts. So you're like, okay, what do I do here? Do I try an onside kick? Which, if you know football at all, onside kicks are very rarely recovered by the team that kicks them. That's why they don't kick them very often, mm-hmm. because they just don't happen. They don't. So Crimson Cliffs goes ahead and kicks their regular kickoff. They did the math. They think, okay, if we can stop them in three plays, they can use 40 seconds per play. That's what, a minute? That's about 2 minutes of time. So we'll get the ball back with a little over a minute left if we can stop them on three plays. And so, you know, if you're Spanish Fork, you have the best running back, the sixth best running back that has ever played in the state of Utah. He rushed for 2,500 yards this year.
Wow.
So you're like, okay, well, Spanish Fork has this great running back. All they have to do is get a first down and the game's over, right? Because then they can kill another 2 minutes and then be down to 30 seconds or whatever in the game's, you know. Crimson Cliffs got the stop. They got the ball back with less than a minute left. They've cut it now to 7. And I'm telling you all this stuff by recap from what I've read because I turned it off, right? I didn't watch the end of the game like an idiot. Anyway, so they're able to get down the field, and with 10 seconds left, they score a touchdown to tie the game at 42-42.
Wow.
And at that point, you know, okay, you got the ties. Spanish Fork decides, okay, we'll take our chances in overtime. So overtime comes, and Spanish Fork scores and kicks the extra point. So Crimson's got to score and get an extra point, too. They do. So it's 49-49. They go to a second overtime. Second overtime, Crimson Cliffs gets the ball first. They score, and they at that point you have to go for a 2-point conversion. They don't get it. So Spanish Fork, all they have to do is score a touchdown, get a 2-point conversion, and the game is over. They win. Well, they scored. 2-point conversion came, and they failed. So 55-55, and this is a fairly new rule, but in high school, I think this is a college rule too. If you go into a third overtime, you don't even go for touchdowns anymore. You go for 2-point conversions, just alternating until, you know, each team has had a chance and one team is ahead. And so it was Spanish Fork's turn to go first. They went for a 2-point conversion, did not get it. So it's still 55-55. And the Mustangs have basically one play to get the 3 yards. Mm-hmm. They hand the ball to the running back. He hits the line, and there's no hole. There's nowhere for him to go. And instead of giving up on the play because he didn't get tackled, he just hit the line and was you know, blocked out. He kicks it to the outside, is able to get into the end zone, and Crimson Cliffs down by 21 points with just over 5 minutes left, won in triple overtime, 57-55.
Wow.
And I was saying, I've done games now, Mello. I estimate, okay, just football games. So we'll leave basketball and baseball out. Just football games. I've been doing games for 30 years, approximately, well, for a long time I was doing college and high school, so approximately 500 football games I broadcast. I have never, never seen a team come from 21 down to win a game with 5 minutes left. I've never seen it.
Wow. Was that like the playoff then? Or
that was the championship.
That's why they wanted it bad.
They did.
That's a fantastic story.
So, I saw that score on DesNews.com, but it didn't have the last score on the little box score. So I'm like, okay, maybe this is a typo. There's no story yet. There's just this box score. I'm going to go to sleep and I'll check all of this in the morning to see what happened. Well, I got up in the morning and the first thing I opened before I looked at Deseret News was Facebook, and there was an explosion of red, meaning most of my friends, all of my friends who are Crimson Cliffs fans had posted about the incredible game and the incredible miracle comeback and the incredible win. So I did not have to read the story. I did read the story eventually, but I didn't have to read the story to know that it was real, that Crimson Cliffs came back from 21 down and won in triple overtime to win a state championship.
Yeah, and you turned it off.
And I didn't. Although, one cool thing about the modern era, I have it recorded. I can go home and watch it now.
Oh, that's good then. So you can enjoy it again.
So a quick story about that. My grandpa went to the 1980 Holiday Bowl. Now, for those that are BYU fans, they're going to know what I'm referring to. They were playing SMU, and BYU was down 20 with 4 minutes left. And my grandpa, who is a Cougar Club member, lifetime BYU fan, him and his wife left. He and my grandma left. And they got out to the car, flicked the radio on, and BYU was making a comeback, and he tried to get back in the stadium, but by the time he got there, the game was over. But yeah, he left, and he didn't have a recording. You know, I mean, there are recordings out there now, but he didn't have a recording at the time to see what happened. All he knew was he left early and missed it.
Yeah, that happens.
I was pretty proud to say we had just barely moved to Utah. Like, we had been in Utah maybe 4 months or something. And I had the game on the radio. Back then, you couldn't watch all this stuff on TV, but I had the game on the radio. And I left it on, even though they were down 20 with 4 minutes left, I left it on and listened to the whole thing. And Paul James's epic call, and they blocked the punt, and then the dive into the end zone and stuff. But I blew it last night. I did leave early.
Yeah.
Good news is I'm going to go home here in about three and a half hours and watch it.
That's awesome.
Watch the comeback. So. 9:45 on KDXU. Our old friend Biff is in trouble again. We talked a little bit about it, why he's in trouble, but things just up the ante a little bit. And we'll talk about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 948 on KDXU. Let's go right to the phone lines. Barbara's been hanging on. Barbara, what's up?
Well, I had to comment because, you know, my husband and I were watching that game last night, and we did the very same thing.
Oh, did you?
When they were like double our score, we decided, you know what, we're just not going to watch it anymore. So we turned it off. Later on, when we were listening to the news, we found out that Crimson Cliffs had won, and we were both like, oh, my gosh, we couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then as I was thinking about it, I thought, my gosh, I'll bet those Spanish Fork people are almost in shock.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they thought they had that game totally won. And I'll bet after that game, they were looking at each other like, what happened?
What just
because
happened?
Because I surely would.
Yeah, for sure. I actually got, Barbara, I got a couple of texts from people, too, said the same thing that you're saying and that I said is, turned it off. It was over. You're down three touchdowns with 5 minutes left. It's over.
So. Yeah, it was just—it's crazy. It was an amazing comeback. Good job for those guys. That's amazing. They have—that'll be a memory that will live on forever in their hearts and minds and their lives. So, good for them. Congratulations.
Do you have it recorded so you can go watch it? Because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home and watch it. See what I missed.
We don't. Okay. But it's okay. We're just happy for the boys and the team. Yeah. That's great.
Thank you, Barbara. Right. Good to talk to
Thanks.
You.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, I just, that whole thing mellowed. I don't think, and I'm a sports guy, right? I mean, I knew there was a possibility that it could happen. They could make a comeback, right? I mean, if anything, I should have known. I remember Mello. I used to coach my kids in Little League basketball. And, you know, the thing when you're coaching is if you're up by what you feel like is a safe amount, you kind of put the scrubs in, you put the reserves in, and you're like, yeah, we got this. Well, I don't know if Spanish Fork did that.
Oh.
But even if they did, after one or two touchdowns, I guarantee you, they put the studs back in.
Yeah.
I was always afraid when I was a coach. I was like, I don't want to put the scrubs in because, you know, they might come back. And maybe I was paranoid. I don't know. But it does happen. We saw it happen last night. So congratulations, by the way, to Wayne Lofipo and his son, both of on the I do have 1 minute aside on this. The announcers for the game on K-Jazz were awful. They were terrible. So Wayne Lofipo, the head coach, he has two sons, Malachi and Maddox. One wears number 4, Malachi. The other wears number 9. And they didn't know there were two Alofipos on the team.
Oh, no.
And so at one point, maybe they figured it out later in the game, but at one point they were like, oh, yeah, there's a touchdown by Malachi. But it wasn't. It was his brother. It was the other one. And that was just one small example of them not really knowing what they're doing. They were just not good. And so, you know, I think Dave Fox and Frank Dolce were not good. Tony Parks, he's like their sideline guy, but also provided some color commentary. He was not bad, but the other two were just terrible. And I was a little embarrassed that my profession has sunk to the level that it's sunk because of those guys. But
you do have a caller on the one.
Roy, what's going on, Roy?
Kelly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kelly is there.
Hey, how are you today?
Well, good. Thanks for calling, Kelly. What's up?
We just have to talk about Biff Williams for a moment.
yeah.
The fact that he is probably going to lose his job in Missouri is certainly gratifying in a way, because he came into this community, this wonderful community, stirred the pot and was thrilled to do it, ditched our wonderful name.
Yeah.
And then we get a good insight into what some of the stuff he really did over there. I think he came here with the intent to, you know, disrupt the status quo, and thought he was really brave for doing so. And I hope he loses his job, and I hope people see him for what he was worth, along with the trustees, Andy. They supported him in his efforts, the ones who had lived here forever and went against their community. It was just appalling. And they hold as much responsibility here as Biff Williams.
Now, I don't know if you saw the story today. It's in the Springfield, Missouri newspaper about the faculty voting no confidence, 36-12, no confidence vote in their new president.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he can survive there with a no confidence. It sounds like in reading about it, the Board of Trustees has to defer to the governor, and then it will all play out. But how can he continue with a board that does not support him? I don't see him lasting. And here's the thing. This will probably really damage his career. Usually they just jump from university to university.
Right.
And this will very greatly impede his ability to do so, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate talking to you. Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to go into, was that there's a story in the Springfield News Leader, that's a local newspaper where at Missouri State, the faculty senate voted overwhelmingly that they had no confidence in their new president, Richard Biff Williams. And let's see the exact numbers. I saw the numbers. I mean, here we go. Anyway, I think it was 36-12. And here's a guy, Mello, who came to this town in 2014 and decided that our name was racist or whatever, and he embraced the wokeness of changing Dixie to Utah Tech and did all that, went through the process to get it done, talked people into things, got support from people, and then left town. He skipped town when people started to figure out that there were some issues there.
Yeah.
And now he has a lawsuit against him from folks here, you know, that at the local university. It has nothing to do with the name change. It has to do with the work environment. And now his new job, things are starting to catch up to the guy.
I think karma's real.
The problem, Mello, is the damage is done. We'll never go back to Dixie College or Dixie University, Dixie State. So I think the damage is done.
That's
so
wild.
Were you motioning something to me?
Is my mic working? I can't hear.
Yeah, you can't hear yourself.
Oh. No, well, that's okay.
No, we can hear you loud and clear, young lady. You sound fantastic.
Okay, thank you.
And you can hear me, though.
I can hear you just fine, as always. Always handy.
Okay. So Biff Williams looks like he's probably going to lose his job. When you get a no-confidence vote from your faculty, and, you know, I don't wish this guy as a person ill will. I don't want to see anybody fail or, you know, but I just feel like the him coming in, the way he acted in this community, the way he treated, it felt like he was coming in saying, shame on you, St. George, for not seeing how racist you really are. We're going to change the name because you don't know how racist you are, but I do. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. I had no idea he was an outsider. I didn't know that he wasn't from the community.
Yeah, not from here. Yeah.
That makes more sense.
It never would have happened if he was from here.
No.
So instead, he bows to the woke. He changes the name. And like I said, unfortunately, I feel like it's never going back.
No, I don't think it can. But there's still some things here that are still named Dixie.
Well, so and you have and we had local legislators fight to at least have it's the Dixie campus of Utah Tech University. So there's that. Nobody talks about that, but at least it's there. And I will be on that red rock over there with my favorite weapon of choice, fighting to keep that Dixie rock here as long as I'm alive, because this is Dixie. We are Utah's Dixie, and I'm not a racist person. I am not. And anybody that tries to tell me I am, you're wrong, number one. And number two, these people that I live near and around here in beautiful southern Utah are not either. And you can't come into town and tell me that we are.
No, we're not. And that Dixie name doesn't mean racism.
No, it doesn't. No,
it represents what they were trying to start when they came, which was the cotton mill.
I met with a guy, I'm not going to say his name, but he works for the university, and he said, let's go to lunch, I want to talk about this. And he sat me down and he tried to explain to me all the different ways the name Dixie was racist. And he had a good heart and he was trying to persuade me. He wasn't being mean about it, but none of his arguments held water. He's like, well, I have these black athletes that come in and tell me that they don't feel comfortable because of the name. I'm like, isn't that their problem, not our problem? Isn't that a personal thing? But, I mean, if this person had ever lived in the South, I lived in the South, Dixie's all over the place. It is Dixie. The southern part of the United States is Dixie. Just like the southern part of the state is Utah's Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's talking about it being racist or slavery or any of that stuff. It's not. It's just the name of the place. It's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And if he knew, and if Biff knew anything about the Dixie spirit, right, it's not a spirit of racism and meanness. It's a spirit of volunteerism and giving and loving each other and helping each other.
Exactly, exactly. So it's good that they have the Dixie Roundup and they have other things that are Dixie in the community.
And like I said, I'll fight to the death that you try to take that red Dixie rock away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there on the hill with them.
That's right.
All right, again, the name of the Netflix documentary we need to watch is called Buy More.
Buy More.
B-U-Y-M-O-R-E, Buy More. Like I said, I would commit to watching it this weekend, but I'm going to be reading a lot this weekend. Mm-hmm. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Again, Monday, Tim Anderson is on, Timothy Burton Anderson, the author, is on the show to talk about his new book, the one I'm going to read this weekend, called Blue, Red, and Dead. It's a fiction book, but it's supposed to be really a good read. He's really an accomplished author, and I think that this one's going to be a good one. I'll let you know what I think of it on Monday. Mello, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. We'll also have Mello on Tuesday, Zach Renstrom on Wednesday. It's the Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for listening.